We always want to make sure that we are, again, getting beneath the surface, and we're trying to figure out the why, because we want to be on the same team as our children, right? It's not them against us. We really, really want to build that relationship, because the research tells us that when we only worry about the behavior and we don't worry about what's behind the behavior, we're severing the relationship with our child, and connection is so, so important.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is how to raise children with emotional intelligence. And for this topic, I have got a wonderful guest here, Christina Manning. So please briefly introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And yes, how do you come to this topic?
Yes, yes. Hi, thank you so much for having me, Blanca. Yes, I am Christina Manning, and I am in the United States on the East Coast in Delaware, and I am an ADHD parenting coach. In my previous life, I was a classroom teacher and a school counselor, and during the pandemic, I pivoted to the online space because I saw such a need for parents to have the support that they need, in particular with kids with ADHD who thrive on routine. So that's just a little bit about me. And again, thanks for having me here.
Yes, so it's a pleasure to have you on. Your topic is guiding children with emotional intelligence. What does this mean? Can you explain a little about this, please?
Absolutely. So traditional parenting, or I like to call it old school parenting, is really about just kind of correcting the behavior, just worrying about like if they're whining or if they're screaming or whatever they're doing, bugging their sibling, it's about just, okay, we want you to stop doing that. So that's the old school way. Now, when we bring emotional intelligence into parenting, it's all about trying to get beneath the surface of the behavior and try to figure out what is the why. Why is my child whining right now? Why are they having a tantrum? Right? So it's all about getting, I tell parents, get curious, not furious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's really, really just trying to figure out what's behind the behavior. And I use something called HALT. Hungry, are they angry, are they lonely, or are they tired? And those are all good things to try to, we can try to be detectives when we're parents and try to get beneath the surface and see, okay, is my kid, why are they acting like this? Maybe they need a snack, maybe they're tired, maybe they're seeking connection. And I need to get down on the floor and have that one-on-one time with them.
Yes, so they can calm down or so they can feel secure, right? So
absolutely.
If you can find out what's behind. And would you say there is a difference between children who have got ADHD and, I don't know how to say this, but the other ones?
Yeah, like neurotypical. So yeah. An ADHD child, and just in case anyone who's listening is like, what is ADHD? ADHD is attention deficit hyperactive disorder. ADHD is a superpower, really. But with a child with ADHD, the biggest thing with them is they have executive function. So our executive functions are in the frontal lobe. So we all have executive functions. Every human does. But a child or a human with ADHD struggles with executive functions like making decisions, impulse control, emotional regulation, thinking, logic, learning, all those types of things. I call the executive our boss. And sometimes a child with ADHD, the boss is out to lunch or on vacation is a friendly way of explaining it. But to answer your question, Blanca, no, regardless if you have ADHD or if you are a neurotypical child, emotional intelligence is the way to parent, right? We always want to make sure that we are, again, getting beneath the surface, and we're trying to figure out the why, because we want to be on the same team as our children, right? It's not them against us. We really, really want to build that relationship, because the research tells us that when we only worry about the behavior and we don't worry about what's behind the behavior, we're severing the relationship with our child, and connection is so, so important. And in fact, I tell my clients, connection is just as vital as oxygen. So it's very important that we're spending that one-on-one time connecting with our kiddos.
Yes, that's it. So yes, I totally agree. So mm-hmm. Because my children are now between, almost 10 and 19. And if I look back, I can see this. There is a difference. If you are able to connect with your children and they grow up, it's easier in puberty. It's easier in life, really. If they are small, you can't even imagine what will happen. So just be prepared, I would say.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And doing the right steps just in the beginning makes it easier in the end. So I think this is so wonderful to talk about this topic, because there are so many different ways of how to accompany your children.
Yes.
Sometimes they are confusing, they are contradictory to each other, and I think it's difficult for parents to find out the right path, especially if they are raised in an old school model.
Yes.
And how do you deal with this? What would you say to those parents?
Yeah, so first of all, I never want to shame a parent. Most of us, and I'm not going to say all, but I would say 99% of the clients I work with grew up in that traditional household, right? The old school parenting, where it was just like, you know, we're just going to nix this behavior right now, and that's all that matters. I just want the child to stop having the tantrum, to stop crying, to stop whining, right? A lot of times in the traditional household, there was a lot of yelling and sometimes, you know, hitting too. But the most important thing is to never shame a parent, because a lot of times when we grow, however we grow up, is how we parent ourselves. So it's just really a lot about self-reflection and just having the parent really try to, you know, reflect on how their childhood impacts the way that they parent today. But again, without shaming, without judging, it's just trying to get them to see that there is another way, and backing that up by telling them about what the research tells us, right? I didn't just pull this out of a hat and say, hey, go use emotional intelligence, right? This is what the research tells us that is working. And like you said, Blanca, having adolescent children, you're laying the foundation when they're younger to be able to have that relationship with them, so that when they get older, they'll come to you when things get tough.
Yes, right. So how do mothers and fathers too? Well, it's Renew Motherhood, but I think even fathers can watch this.
Yes.
And should listen to this. Who raised their children with emotional intelligence? How do they benefit? I would prefer to say accompany and not raise them, but okay.
How do the parents benefit?
Yes. Right.
Yes, absolutely. So again, when you parent with emotional intelligence, you are building a relationship with your child, which is literally the most, and I don't want to call it an intervention, but it's the most powerful tool that you have in your pocket as a parent, is that relationship. And so you're going to benefit from that. Like you were saying, like, I'm sure, Blanca, I can't remember exactly how old your children are, but I believe many of them are teenagers. And
yes,
I'm sure
right.
that because you used emotional intelligence and you really try to get beneath the surface and find out why they were displaying these behaviors rather than just like, oh, be quiet, you're annoying me. I'm sure that you're seeing the fruits of that labor today because you prioritize that relationship. And the same goes for other parents who use emotional intelligence. They are going to have kids that come to them when things get hard, they're going to have a strong relationship with them, and they are going to just be able to thrive in an ever-changing environment and model for their children how they use emotional intelligence so that they can use emotional intelligence if they have kids when they grow up.
Yeah, so it goes on, right?
Yes.
You just set the initial part and then they can move on. But it sounds so easy. Okay, just use emotional intelligence and everything is fine. Where are the challenges? Because if I listen to this, I know, okay, I use this. I make it go empathetic in the way I try to look behind it. But it's not that easy, is it?
So no, I'm not going to say that this is the easy way out, because say, like, the old school way of parenting, let's say one of the big parts of old school parenting is using a timeout, like putting a child like in, you know, a corner or an isolated place so that they can, quote unquote, think about and reflect on the behavior. That may be easy in the moment because, you know,
even in schools, right?
Oh, absolutely. In schools as well, they still use timeouts. But yeah, in the moment, it might be easy because you're just like shutting it down. There's no more noise. Just be quiet, whatever. That's easy. So yes, that is easy in the moment. But if you're using timeouts over and over and that's your main method of, you know, parenting or discipline, you're going to find that your kids, again, are not going to come to you later when things get tough. They're not going to be able to be vulnerable and honest with you because you didn't create that safe space for them, right? And hold space for them when things get really challenging. So while it may be easy in the moment, right, it's going to really benefit the entire family if you use emotional intelligence when from the time they're young. And one thing that's really important about emotional intelligence as a parent is making sure that you're taking care of yourself, right? You can't pour into your children if you're not pouring into you. So the more you take care of yourself, the easier it is to parent with emotional intelligence, right? And a lot of parents, like, self-care is kind of foreign to them. They're like, what do you mean? I mean, even to me, like, as a teacher or a former teacher and counselor, I was pouring all of my energy into the kids, into the teachers and the staff and the parents. But then I was empty, right? And so then I was suffering. So I wasn't practicing what I preached. So yes, it may be challenging in the beginning to stay patient, to hold space for those big feelings. But it's really, I promise you, it's going to get easier and it's going to pay off in the long run.
Okay, so could you give an example if a young child, for example, has a tantrum?
Yes.
And you're just in the supermarket. It's the classic.
Yes, yes.
And you want to, you say, okay, I want this to stop.
Mm-hmm.
What is the first step for a mother to do now?
Okay, so if your child is having a tantrum in public, like you said, the supermarket, nobody wants to hear a screaming child. Yes, it's annoying. Yes, it's really tough. However, children don't have, their brains aren't fully developed, right? So we have to take that into mind that a human brain isn't fully developed. The newest research says until close to 28 years old, right? So we have a lot of unrealistic expectations of kids in the, you know, just starting out. So if a child is having a tantrum in the middle of the supermarket and as annoying as it is, and you just want to tell them to be quiet and just give them the lollipop so they'll just be quiet and give them their way, again, that might be easy right then. But if you want to use emotional intelligence and you want things to be easy in the long run, the most important thing you can do is remain calm and help your child regulate through co-regulation. And basically, that just means that we're sharing our calm brain with our child, right? Because when our child is tantruming, a lot of people are like, well, they're giving me a hard time. Well, I really encourage parents to reframe that as they're having a hard time, right? When they're tantruming, their brain goes offline. So they really, the only thing that matters to them in that moment is safety. And so our job as parents and caregivers is to model being calm. And so it might just look like us in the middle of the supermarket, maybe rubbing their back or taking a nice deep breath. And they might not calm down for a while because it's a child and they're having a tantrum. And tantrums are developmentally appropriate, right? So we just need to stay calm and stay, you know, present with them through co-regulation. Now, if there's an opportunity, say you're in the supermarket, I always tell parents, like, if you can, try to reduce stimulation if there's a tantrum. So if you're at home, obviously you can turn off the TV and turn down the lights and whatever. But if you're in the supermarket, right, you can't do that. So maybe you could try to go to another aisle that's not as crowded to reduce that stimulation if you can, right, and start to take deep breaths. And again, your kid is not going to do this immediately. In fact, sometimes it can make them even more angry, right? That you're staying calm. But it's not going to last that way forever, right? We use what's called the three R's. And the three R's were developed by a neuroscientist named Dr. Bruce Perry. And it's the very first R is regulate, right? So we're going to regulate ourselves first before we regulate the child. And then we're going to relate. So start to relate to them, like maybe rub their back, but not use a whole lot of like words, you know, there shouldn't be a lot of words going on or talking at this point. We're still trying to get them to come down. And then the third R is reason. And so then you can start problem solving and talk about the tantrum or they threw the apple across the supermarket or whatever it was. But we're not going to get to that third R, reason, until we know, we can tell, like, body language that they are calm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that doesn't happen in the supermarket. Might not happen till we get in the car. Might not happen till we get home, right? So we just really need to, I know it's very, very hard. It's the hardest thing in the world, but remain calm. And if you feel like you're going to freak out and scream at your child, just take a moment to yourself. Take some mindful breaths, right? Put your hand on your heart and say an affirmation. Like, this isn't an emergency. My child's having a hard time. He's not giving me a hard time. And I'm going to get through this. So I know it's not easy, but the more that we practice this, we're rewiring our brains to be calm. And then mirror neurons, you know, someone looking at us and doing what we do, then our kid will eventually begin to model or do what we have modeled before them.
Oh, this is so mm-hmm. wonderful. And yes, I would love to add really here mm-hmm. to say, okay, and as a mother, try to disconnect from your environment in this moment.
Yes.
If people are staring at you or whatever.
Yes.
So it's important not to be attached to those people around you. Just, it's your child, right? That's
exactly.
important.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. That's, I'm so glad that you said that. Cause a lot of times we can get like humiliated, embarrassed, but we have to just remind ourselves that this is our child, right? We are raising this human. What good is it going to do them if we scream right now? Right? Yeah. Maybe they'll be quiet because they're scared, but they're only complying because they're scared. They're not complying because they respect us or we're using emotional mm-hmm. intelligence. So you're right. I love that. Disconnect from the environment, kind of tune out the noise and just pay attention to your child's needs at that time, because that's what matters in the long run.
That's what matters. Yes, that's what I think. So do you have any experience from your work how a child develops when the moms or dads use your support method? How does the child behave?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a switch? Is there a change?
Yes. So I'll talk about one of my previous clients, Holly. She has three boys, one with ADHD, and she's a busy mom. You know, there's lots of noise going on in her house. She's a homeschool mm-hmm. mom, and she came to me very frustrated, very hopeless. Kids were having tantrums, especially the one with ADHD, because that's a large function of ADHD is emotional regulation, right? Not being able to regulate. So her oldest son was 9 when she came to me. Tantrum, screaming, constant power struggles. And so what we did was we really tried to work on her communication with her child. So first it started with working on herself, because she was a mom of three boys, but not taking care of herself. She was not even taking a few mindful breaths during the day. She wasn't doing basic things. And so it really, sometimes it's like the basic stuff, like, are you hydrating yourself, right? Are you nourishing your body, right? So this mom, we talked about what worked for her in the past, right? So yoga was something that really, really worked for this mom. So she started incorporating just like a few stretches, even if it was chair yoga throughout the day, and just connecting with herself and her breath. And so that was the first step that she brought into her routine. And then we really tweaked the communication between her and her kids. So she used to yell a lot. And again, I'm not shaming her, because most parents do. She yelled. And so we talked about, like, what are you seeing? Are you getting any results when you're yelling? And she's like, well, maybe in the moment, but then rinse, repeat the next day, I have to yell mm-hmm. and yell. So we talked about, like, okay, well, maybe yelling isn't that effective. So she simply just worked on. When she worked on herself, she was able to stay calm during those tantrums and really tough moments. And she saw a huge shift just with tiny little tweaks. Like, instead of yelling and engaging with her child who's completely dysregulated, she really just started to hold space for him and started to just use the three R's, right? And not engage with him, stay quiet, stay calm. And she was more on his team. She shifted from being like, what's wrong with him? Like, why is he acting like this? To really trying to empathize with him and be on his team and understand that when he's having a hard time, again, he has no control. His brain is going offline. So it was a lot of empathy. It was a lot of tweaking her communication and not yelling. We worked on building her routine for her child because, again, she was a homeschool mom and things were just completely chaotic. So we worked on the routine. We created visuals for her son so that he had a chore chart that was posted right on the refrigerator and he knew exactly what to do. So all of these things, the communication, the routine, the mom self-care, all of those combined, she saw a huge transformation just with these tiny, tiny tweaks. And so parents who come to me like completely hopeless, I'm like, don't worry. I see what you're going through and I've helped other parents before and things are going to get better. And they always do.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I love this.
Yes.
It's actually, you mentioned hopeless. And I think yelling is sometimes a part of feeling helpless too, right?
So. Absolutely. Nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to yell at my child today. It's just, they're just like, well, what else am I going to do? He's not listening. I've asked him 5 times and he's not listening. So it's just really about restructuring the communication.
That's so great. And there is a way, and this is so beautiful. I love this.
Yes.
What is your number one piece of advice for mothers who are struggling with their young kids? What could help them out?
Well,
you mentioned to stay calm.
Yes, I would say my number one tip is let's not expect our kids to be able to regulate their emotions if we can't regulate ours, right? And I know it's a lot easier said than done, but just try just tiny little tweaks. This doesn't mean you have to go spend 3 hours in the gym or go run a race or a marathon. No, it's just really about doing something that lights you up every day. And from a very basic standpoint, like making sure your basic needs are met. Like, are you drinking water? Are you sleeping enough, right? Are you connecting with your breath just a few times throughout the day? One tip I give parents is I have a parent who she's just like, but I can't remember to do that. I'm taking care of everyone else. What about me? So she takes her phone and she sets a timer throughout the day. And it goes off throughout the day, like maybe 3 or 4 times. And when that timer goes off, that is her time. And even if it's just for 1 or 2 minutes, she uses that time to connect with her breath. Sometimes she does tapping, EFT tapping, just, you know, I know that I'm sure you're familiar with that, Blanca. Whatever it may be to try to regulate yourself, you deserve that. I tell parents, it's not just a luxury. Like, it's your responsibility to take care of yourself. If you want to raise an emotionally intelligent child, you need to pour into yourself because they're going to see, oh, wow, mom really values her own self-care. Mom pours into herself and she gives her compassion. So that's what I should do for myself. So it's like a double winner. You're pouring into yourself and you're also modeling before your kids how important it is to take care of themselves.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, and I love that you mentioned it's not a luxury. It's that you raise children. So I think sometimes we think we have got our job, our tasks to do, and raising kids is just going, I don't know, it just goes like beneath us.
Yes.
So it's not the middle, and anything else is luxury. So, but it's not, right? It's an important task, responsibility for mothers and fathers to really to center this, children matter, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's so important. Another thing that goes along with pouring into ourselves for moms is letting go of perfection, right? Because a lot of moms, like, they hold themselves to this unrealistic standard, and really you're not doing yourself a favor when you are expecting perfectionism from yourself, and then you're teaching your children that they need to be perfect. And you know, kids are watching. Like, they do as we do. They don't do as we say, they do as we do. So just let go of imperfection and just make sure that you are doing something and that you really believe that you deserve self-care, because you do and you need it. It's not a luxury.
I love this, because this reminds me at my children when they do something, and I'm asking myself, oh wow, where have I done this? When have I thought about this, that they are acting in this way now? I don't want them to act this way. Where is this inside of me?
Right.
That I have to change it. Like you mentioned, perfection. Mm-hmm. So if I don't want my children to be perfect, it's me who has to change first, right?
Right, absolutely. It always starts with us. It always does.
So, and I think it's wonderful that we have got this mirror that we can look at.
Exactly.
So we are able to grow, to use it for our own growth and for a better life for our children, right?
100%. And another thing I wanted to add, Monica, is another part of emotional intelligence is, like, piggybacking off of this letting go of perfection, right? It's also, like, when we do make a mistake, because we do, because we're human, is that we say I'm sorry, right? Because, again, we're modeling for our children. We're not perfect. Mom's going to mess up sometimes. It's going to happen. But the important part is making it right and apologizing. Because you're modeling for them that, again, it's okay to be imperfect.
Yes, that is crucial, I think. Yes, thank you for mentioning this.
Yeah, absolutely.
To apologize. I love this. So do you have a personal mistake that you had on your journey with helping parents that you like to share here? Is there anything that you can think of where parents can really learn from?
Yes. So I started to mention this earlier, but I didn't really get into it. In my previous life, I taught third grade for a long time. And then I was an elementary school counselor. And during that time, then the pandemic hit and everybody in the world was struggling. And it was really scary. And there was just, like, so much uncertainty. And so during that time, when I was helping parents and helping the teachers and helping the students during the pandemic, I wasn't taking care of myself at all. And I was preaching how important it was to take care of yourself, right? So I had a really bad experience. I started breaking out into hives. I started having really bad anxiety and stress. It was really, really not a fun time in my life. And however, I learned from it. And when that happened, that's when I found mindfulness and I found yoga. And they both had such a profound impact on my well-being that I started teaching yoga and sharing it with the community. You know, just talking about how literally just taking a few deep breaths can really, really transform your outlook. It can really help you carry you throughout the day. And so, you know, my message to parents, again, is I know I used to be in the same boat. I used to put everybody and everything, you know, my family, my work, everything before me, because that's just how I thought I was supposed to, that's what I thought I was supposed to do. But I realized it wasn't working because I wasn't able to give what I didn't have. So just really believe that it's so, so important that you pour into yourself and you find whatever it is. Sometimes it's painting, sometimes it's drawing, sometimes it's journaling, breathing, whatever it is. Try to find something that you can do every day just for a few minutes, because it's going to go a long way in your parenting and in your life.
Yes, that's wonderful. I love this. Actually, it reminds me of my children, if they are stressed, and I've got four children and they are each, we are all individuals, right?
Yes.
So each of them is doing something different if they are stressed. So, and that's okay, right? Just give them the space.
Yes.
Yourself the space for your own, yes, calmness and to do what you like to, what you love to do, really, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have parents that create calm down menus with their kids, and everybody's calm down menu is not the same, right? Yeah. Sit down with one kid and it might be, I like to color when I feel upset or anxious.
Right.
But another kid might say, I want to go ride my bike or I want to take a walk. So like you said, it's not a one size fits all. It's whatever works for that individual in the moment.
Yeah. So again, be detective.
Yes.
Find out what works.
Exactly.
So we are all in a process and in a learning process, and we can only, grow if we find the right things, right?
Yes.
So you offer various programs and support. What do you currently have on offer? Is there anything?
So I have two ways of working with me. One, I offer a group program for moms. I ran it in the spring, and I'm going to be starting another cohort starting soon. So we'll be meeting for 8 weeks, and we have 8 weekly live calls. And then I have a video of modules for parents to learn all about the great things about emotionally intelligent parenting. And then I also have another option where you can work with me one-on-one in my signature program if you prefer just, that one-on-one attention and worked. And we will work together to pinpoint what's going on and create a roadmap for success in your home so that you can have cooperation and have a calm, connected home environment.
So where can people find you, reach out to you, get in contact?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook group. In fact, I have a lot of parents in my group with kids without ADHD because really a foundation of what I teach is just emotionally intelligent parenting, and that's going to benefit any child. So, you know what? I want to just pull this up really quick. Sorry, I recently changed the name of my group. Okay, I'm sorry. It's called Calm Minds Support for Parents of ADHD Kids. So that's my Facebook group.
I will place this in the description too.
Yes, thank you. And then I'm also on Instagram, and my name is calm_minds.
Okay.
So yes, those are the two ways to find me. And I do have a gift for the listeners, if that's okay, Blanca.
Wonderful. I love this.
Yes.
What a surprise.
Yes, yes. I have an ADHD parent guide that I was going to share, but also, because your listeners are parents that don't have kids not only with ADHD, I also have something called a Calm Parent Bundle. And that is it has strategies for parents to calm themselves and regulate their nervous system, and then strategies to help their kids calm. And then it just has a few other goodies like coloring page and a feelings wheel. But both of those will be linked at the bottom of this.
Yes. Thank you so much, Christina. Wow, what a wonderful topic, and I think a great value that is shared here. Thank you very much for being my wonderful guest here.
Yes.
The listeners, please stay tuned, subscribe, and we'll see us later.
Yes, thank you so much, Blanca.